I hope we can get far, because as far as I can tell, we only have two sessions before Pesach. There's so many topics that I would love to do for Pesach.
Why only two sessions?
Because we have this week, we have next week, and I think the week after that you're already off.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And then the week after that, it's right before Pesach. It's like the day before Pesach. Okay, so section 8 is Yira, fear of God, Yira Shemayim, which is like an amazing topic because people talk about it, but they don't really define it at all, at least in my education. So I made a couple copies that someone didn't have. You're welcome. And really, you'll see. I mean, it's all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is, so it's double duty here. It's preparation for Pesach and understanding something about Pesach, and it's also just like a good idea to learn about Yira Shemayim. So you shouldn't get the idea that that's only for some other kind of very lofty people, and never will be relevant in our own lives. We're really something we do strive for in our own lives. It might be different degrees of it. Might always have to keep working on it. There may be, even because we're human, there may be a little bit of ups and downs in there, but that's something that we actually could strive for. It's not out of the way for us. And the one way I thought about this was that at Purim, right, we talked about zechira, memory, and remembering, and that remembering is taking something when it is not visible before us, and yet we already know it in our mind, and bringing it to the forefront of consciousness. Right, and I think I told you that the Sfasama says the Zechira has to always bring it to the point where you could potentially act on it. Right, it wasn't enough to just think about it hypothetically. It needed to go further than that. So the question is kind of how. How do you take it further than that? And really that's where Yira Shemayim comes in, and where Rav Hirsch, I think, understanding that people don't always know where to go with that, that gives actually really guidance. And that is, in fact, the avoda of moving from Purim and towards Pesach. Because when you're going from Purim towards Pesach, you're going from like a galus place to a geula place. Saying, true, one is like a much later time. It's not chronological, but the mentality of how we're dealing with things, that even though Haster Astir is talking about Purim, I would say in Mitzrayim it was darker than that. It was Choshech Mitzrayim, right? It was really, really dark in Mitzrayim. It was a very, very difficult time. And people did not see. You know, that we called out to Hashem and he heard our cries, that's much later. That's right at the end, right? And then Moshe came, and Hashem, right away Hashem sent Moshe. But all the years before that, I don't know. It's either it means that we weren't crying out to Hashem, which is a pretty dark place to be in, meaning to be suffering that much and not be able to like get to the point where you think of that, or we were, and he wasn't accepting that into a place where it would trigger action, which is because Hashem is not somebody we could understand. Actually, he describes that to us in the Torah as Zechira. Vayizkor Elokim es Noach. Vayizkor Elokim es Habris. Right? Vizuharti es Habris. What does it mean that Hashem remembers? He doesn't forget anything. But it put it in a place where now it's the center of attention and activatable into action. Pekido is already... the action has started being nif'al, actuated, and in Zechira, it's poised for that. It's like everything's loaded. The spring is pulled back, everything's loaded and ready to discharge. Okay, so let's start. What does Rav Hirsch bring as the sources in the Torah for Yira, which is really a mitzvah? So the first one, I was thinking to make a source sheet just with these psukim, and I didn't. The first one is Devarim. In Vashana, which is interesting because both of the sources that he brings here really follows right after the Aseres HaDibros. One is in Yisro and one's in Vashana. In both places you have Aseres HaDibros. Here you have also the first paragraph of Shema. And then you come to this mitzvah. Okay. So what does it say? Hishomer lecho pen tishkach es Hashem. Guard yourself lest you forget Hashem. So you understand, we're talking about Zechira, right? There's something over here that is going to take us from one step to the next. Asher hotzeisicho me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beis avodim. That he took you out of the land of Mitzrayim from the house of slaves. Es Hashem Elokecho, Hashem your Lord, tira. You should fear him, be in awe of him. Right, we're going to define it more. Ve'oso sa'avod, and him you should serve. Uveshmo tishavea, and by his name you should take any oaths. Okay, that's definitely not our topic today. Okay, now let's look at Shmos in Perek Chof. Vayomru El Moshe. I didn't start at the pasuk he said. I just want to point out to you where we are. V'chol ha'amroim es hakolos ve'es halapidim es kol hashofar ve'es ha'har oshein. Okay, this is Ma'amad Har Sinai. Vayar ha'om vayanu vayamdu me'rachok. And they saw and they pulled back and they stood at a distance. Rav Schwab says that one way you could think about shuckling, which in general you find that is not so much complimented. I hate to say that because high school is like peak shuckling time, but really standing still when you daven is like a higher form of respect. But he says you could think of it like a back and forth, a constant back and forth, moving back and forth in Yira and Ava. You always have to have Yira before you have Ava. So Pesach is Yira, Shavuos is Ava. We'll get there, right? But first we got to go to Yira before we can get to Ava. So Yira always makes you want to pull farther away. Even if it's a good thing, there's a feeling of moving back, right? Ava makes you want to come close. Okay, so what do? They pull back. Vayomru el Moshe, daber ato imanu v'nishma. You talk, we'll listen, right? This is a bit too much for us. Va'al yidaber imanu elokim pen nomos. We're not up to this. Were they? No, they were right. It would kill them. It did, right? You have this medrash, right, that they heard the first divra, and then they had to be resuscitated, right? The tal of tchis amesim, and then again, it happened twice. They were right. They weren't just like lacking some kind of confidence. Okay? Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, al tiro, don't be afraid, which is interesting, because like, were you supposed to be afraid of Hashem? You're not supposed to be afraid of Hashem. Ki leva'avor nasos eschem bo ha'elokim. It is only for the purpose of elevating you. A nes means a banner, which would also be a very interesting topic. You can find it in the Ramban at the beginning of Akedas Yitzchak, Ve'elokim nisa es Avram. Okay? A nes is a banner. A banner is something that you raise up high to demonstrate something. Okay, so lenasos lebavor nasos eschem is to elevate you. Bo ha'elokim, I'm sure that's how he says it came to prove you. But you'll see he uses it as elevate. That Hashem has come, because Nisayon also means experience. That the Lord has come. Uba'avor tiyeh yiroso al panechem. And in order that the awe of him or fear of him should be on your faces, levilti secheto'u, in order that you will not sin. Okay, so this is now the back. I just don't want to read this, not my chumash. It would be like a little bit surprising. I could add it to the other collection. It's like a little archaeological dig here of other people's notes, I noticed. But I don't have to contribute to that. Okay. The fear of God consists in laying to heart all that Scripture so far has taught you about the greatness of God. I'll just pause there. We'll allow the comma to serve as something stronger than a comma. So remember, the question here is, you have learned something, it's in your mind. You've even brought it maybe to the front of your mind. Now you need to lay it to heart. You have to put it in your heart, meaning it has to affect you emotionally. Because until it affects you emotionally, we've already learned, your actions will not, in fact, reflect what you know. Or if they do, here or there, they won't be sustained, because the heart is the motor. You're not going very far until the motor's turned on. So you need to lay to heart all that scripture would be Mikra, like Tanakh, has taught you about the greatness of God. Such as, now I actually tried and I asked around. I was unable to identify. It might be a Rambam, but I didn't have time to look it up. This is clearly a list. I don't know where this list is from. I considered a few options. It wasn't them. I tried to research it. It's very difficult to look these up if you don't already know them, because I'm not sure exactly where to look. I did get as far as, I feel fairly sure in saying that these are shemos. These are names, we would call them, of Hashem. We'll talk about that a drop. Okay. So the Torah has taught you about the greatness of God, such as, so these are examples of Hashem's greatness. His omnipotence, that means kol yachol, he can do everything, right? Baal kol hakochos kulo, that would be kulam, that would be like Elohim, maybe. Maybe. I told you, since I don't have the list, it's a little... Okay? His grandness. Not sure what that would be. His omnipresence. That would be hamakom, that he is everywhere. His endless activity. His majesty, malchus, melech. His giving of the law. His omniscience. That means he knows everything. His scrutiny. He examines. He's paying attention. His justice in judgment. That would maybe be Dayan Ha'emes. His just retribution, etc. Just retribution would mean fair payback. That would be schar ve'onesh. In impressing all this so vividly on your mind that the thought of his greatness never deserts you. Okay, so let's pause there. We said before, when we were talking about speech and thought, right, that in Bereshis, remember Adam, Hashem brought all the animals to Adam to see what names he would call them. So a name expresses the knowledge of the truth of something. What is the deeper truth of the thing? The spiritual truth of it. However, as Rav Hirsch pointed out, we don't know the complete and full inner truth of things. Certainly not in this world. So we're trusting in the fact that Hashem guarantees that the amount that we know is not just imaginary or deceptive. We're knowing something of truth. The name is an expression. So if it's a name that is told us in the Torah, then it might be an actual true expression of it, even though we don't know it. It might not be it's a name we give. It's the best we could do. But if it's a name of Hashem, so what does that mean? It can't be an expression of what Hashem really... There's no name that could contain such a thing. Even Shem HaMefarash, we can't even say it. It's like this. These are not things... Okay. So what does it mean then if there's a name of Hashem? And we use them all the time. What does it mean then if a name is describing the spiritual essence? These are names that Hashem has revealed to us in the Torah. That's why I said, lay to heart all that Scripture has so far taught you about the greatness of God. We don't go around making our own analyses or assumptions, right? You know, I'm sure you learned about Tefillah, right? The Gemara where there was someone leading at the Duchan and they started adding on and Shmoneh Esrei, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, VeHanor. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Says it in Devarim, right over there. Okay, and this, yeah. And then he started going on with more wonderful praises of Hashem. And, you know, when he was finished, they're like, so, is that all then? That must be the complete list. Now that you, right, that's like, who do you think you are? Okay, well, even Anshei Knesset HaGadolah would take Moshe Rabbeinu's words over there. In general, we use the words of David Melech for things in davening. Why? Because, like, you know, we can find to the extent that we could understand it, and to the extent that also with Tehillim, that it speaks to us, even with Tehillim, you don't have to be interpreting it exactly as it's written. It's okay if it speaks to you, and it's you're able to piggyback onto David HaMelech's words, the feelings that you're experiencing. Because maybe you didn't find where he exactly talks about what you said. He probably did, but maybe you didn't find it, right? It's okay, right? So now Hashem hears your words and your voice and David HaMelech's words and his voice all together. It's beautiful. It's an amazing thing to be able to ride on that, right? But on our own, it's not like we don't know what we're talking about. So we do our best, you know? So with a shame of Hashem, it's a name that Hashem himself has revealed to us in the Torah. And it's not describing the atzmus of Hashem, like the inherentness of him. What he's describing to us is how we are to see him relating to us. Gibor, right? Or Chanun, or Rachum, Elokim. These, Shem Adnus, Shokai, Hashem Tzavakos. He's revealing to us ways that we can perceive him interacting with us in our lives. And depending on the aspect that we are able to pick up on, because he is not changing. But depending on, it's like that Tiffany lamp, right? His light is not changing, but we are all different colors of the rainbow. So what we end up sensing, right, is what we're able. From that, then we understand better how we are to respond to him. What does he want from us? What should we say? What should we do? What should we feel? How should we act? Okay, so that what he's revealing to us is something about how he's interacting with us and what we could understand from that. So now we have to take those things that Hashem has revealed to us about how he interacts with us and impress it vividly on our minds. I mean, you have to make like an image. You have to be able to visualize, not Hashem. It's how he's acting to, on us, right? Whether it's something that's difficult, something that's warm and fuzzy, whatever it is, we have to impress that on ourselves so vividly that the thought of his greatness never deserts you. That's sort of what the Shivisi Hashem Lenegisa. He's going to give more advice on this. And that everywhere and always and in everything, so no matter where you are or what is happening around you, you behold the Almighty, great, creative. Creative doesn't mean like thinking outside the box, right? It means creator. He creates. omnipresent, all-ruling God. No matter what happens to you, you see in that the hand of Hashem speaking to you and acting upon you. Who has revealed to you his law for guiding your life and watches to see whether you fulfill this will of his and examines and judges and requites you. Requites would be like forgives. So Hashem, who is doing all these things, is always watching you. And you can tell that if you wake up and start seeing in everything and every situation that he's speaking with you and pointing you where to go. And he has told you what to do. That's called halacha. He has told you what to do in various situations. If you don't know, you ask, right? And then he judges, did you do it? How'd you do? And he does, in fact, judge it. Fortunately, there's the requite you there, sort of, at the end. Yiras Hashem, and this is a definition, this is worth it, everything, a whole year. Yiras Hashem means strictly, strictly meaning strictly speaking, to see God everywhere and to feel your own littleness in his greatness. That's Yiras Shamayim. Do you see how even if we're not there, we could like see it somewhere to go? Somewhere to go. It's a long way to go to get it to every moment. But that's what we're here for. It's okay. That's what we're here for. We work on it. If you have a vivid conception of but one aspect of God's greatness, so he gave that long list, right? There was omnipotence and grandness and omnipresence and endless activity, majesty, giving law, omniscience, scrutiny, justice and judgment, just retribution, etc. But even if in one of them you can get like an image, I'll share with you one, like a little mini one. One time we were in Italy, but it's a piece of Italy that faces, it's got like a few straggling Alps from the Italian Alps side. And we went up a cable car, you were very little, I don't know if you remember this, it was like a Swiss botanical garden, way up at the top of a mountain, where they have different kinds of plants that grow at this very high altitude. They're mostly very, very tiny. They're very beautiful, very tiny. And we're walking on this path, and all of a sudden, like at the top of this peak, and looking down, and you see Alps ahead of you, and you see this lake below, and you see this city, but it's so far below you, thousands of feet down there. The people look, I mean, you can't see the people, you can see houses. The people would be too small to see from that distance. And there was this unbelievable feeling, like you're flying at this huge distance over, and seeing the world, it's just a completely different kind of view of what the world is. And it's just a tiny piece and just a tiny angle and just a tiny height, right? And I can't even see the people, and I certainly can't see into the houses, and I can't. But this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking down and seeing all of it with all this context. You're down in the city, you just see the buildings around you. Or maybe you come to the edge and you see the lake and you can see up and out. But you can't see like this whole picture. Just to even get like a tiny piece of what it could feel like to see more of a picture left me with a feeling of awe of how small I am. I'm really the one who's down in the village, right? Yeah, in this moment I'm up here, But what I'm getting is a chance to see what I look like from 5,000 feet up or so, whatever height it is, which is teeny, insignificant. It's a little bit of a flavor for me of feeling my own littleness in his greatness. Even though it doesn't show me him, right? Just a little flavor of like the ability to see everything. But it made an impression on me. It made an emotional impression on me. So that's something you could work off of. Okay, so, but we each have our own. And with your shrine, it could be terrifying. He gives examples. If you have a vivid conception of but one aspect of God's greatness and carry it with you always and everywhere, then you cannot sin. That was the pasuk, levilti sechato. So in other words, maybe you can find one of these to work on. It's an interesting Pesach project because you see it's all Pesach related. If you could find one of them that somehow is a stronger resonance for you, it's a really good starting point. He seems to be saying that really all of them are areas that we would have this effect on. But it's a tip. He's giving us a tip. Start, look for one. Because that alone will put you in a new category. You become a Yirei Shamayim. Maybe it's in a little bit. Maybe it's only in one angle. But there you are. Okay. So I'm going to read this one. We don't have time to do all of them, even if I know what time it was, which I don't. Okay. We for sure don't. Obviously. We for sure don't have time to do all of them, but it's chaval not to. So maybe at the end, if there's time, we could come back. Otherwise, it'll be left for you along your lives to find it. But it's not. This one's not such a difficult reading. But I'll do the first one. God's omnipotence, colon. Okay, so here he's going to give examples, and you see how each paragraph really is taking that list. God's greatness, omnipresence, majesty, revelation of the law, you see? Okay. Heaven and earth return to nothing at his nod. Omnipotence means kol yachol. He can do anything. It takes the slightest indication, and everything in creation it would be nothing. And you, in your human littleness, with your grain of power, with your brief spell of time, with your transient existence, will you, man, in your impotence, set yourself up against the omnipotent, rebelliously disdain him, and not fear lest if you sin, the next moment may bring you annihilation? He created me. What justification is there for me to be alive if I'm not in accordance with his will? Happens to be that, like, very often he does keep us going and give us a chance to work it out and figure it out. But that's kindness on his part. I have no right to deserve that or expect it. Right? So, like, okay. You will see this is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This series, right, these are the things you can see of Hashem's interaction in the world, that he's everywhere, that his majesty, these are things that are revealed in greater or lesser degrees in different times of history into the world. And by seeing them, we can develop Yirei Shamayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is like the nuclear-powered revelation of all that. Okay, so let's say, for example, how do we know that? So in Chumash, I didn't put the psukim down in. Okay, Hashem told Moshe to go to Paro and to tell him to let everyone go, right? So Moshe and Aaron went, and Paro's response was, fine, I won't give them straw either. Right? So now they have to, I don't know, get up earlier and go hunting for their own supplies, and they're still going to be beaten if they don't keep it up. And the Shotrei Bnei Yisrael came to Moshe and Aaron, and they were furious. Right? I didn't notice this before. What did they say? Yere Hashem Aleichem V'yishpot. There's the Yira again, right? If we have time, we'll talk about Yira and Re'ia, because they're related. Okay? Hashem should see and judge you. Asher hiv ashtem es rechenu be'enei paro uve'enei avadov l'ases cherev bi'adam l'hargenu. Look what you destroyed us. We're hanging on by the skin of our teeth, and now you just destroyed us. Who do you think you are? Now, really, there's nothing wrong with them. These are the people, they're standing up for Klal Yisrael, right? They're saying, like, what are you doing? We're trying to lay low and not be noticed. And you're starting up. And Moshe went to Hashem, Vayoshav Moshe El Hashem, Vayomar, and he said, Hashem, that's Hashem Adnos, Lama Hariyosa La'am Hazeh, Lama Zeh Shalachtani. Moshe, by the way, thought they were right. Is it really? I was born for this? Was I born like and worked on myself as a shepherd, right? And you sent me to make it worse? Umeyaz basi el para ledaber bishmecha, heira la'am hazeh, v'hatzeh lo hitzalta asamecha. And now since you sent me to Paro, things are worse. You sent me to speak in your name, and now because of that, in your name, everything's worse for them. You didn't save them. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe, Ata, now, Sira Asher Eesel Lefaro, you'll see what I'm going to do to Paro. Ki v'yad chazaka yishalchem, uv'yad chazaka yigarshem me'atzo. With a strong hand, he's going to send them out. With a strong hand, he's going to chase them out of his land. Okay. That's the end of Parsha Shmos. Rashi brings, what does it mean now you're going to see? By the way, now, ata in Torah usually means there's a moment there for tshuva. Right? With Moshe, he rectifies it when he says, oz yashir Moshe, because he said, me oz basi al paro, and I said, lama hari asalam hazeh, and it only comes totally clear. Yeah, you check, it's a Baal HaTurim, and oz yashir. Okay. It's very, very beautiful, like a completion, that you could see how really it was all coming to. You don't see it all the way until you get to the end of Pesach. Okay, so Rashi says, here hartal midosai. You're thinking about my midos. It doesn't mean you're thinking about it. It means you're questioning. You're questioning me. Loka Avraham, not like Avraham. She'amarti lo, I said to him, ki b'yitzchok yikari l'chazara. Yitzchok is going to be your child. V'achar kach amarti lo, ha'alehu le'ola. You know that Kedas Yitzchak happened after Hashem promised Avram that his descendants, his Klal Yisrael, his bracha, is all going to come through Yitzchak? Below here, acharei midosai. And he didn't say, well, but you said, he didn't. He went to go do the Akedah. Lefikach ato tireh. So therefore, now you're going to see. What does it mean, now you're going to see? You're not able to go forward wholeheartedly because you can't see how I'm keeping my word. Avraham was able to go forward wholeheartedly, even though he can't see how Hashem is keeping word. Remember, that was, Emunah was learned from Avraham, v'he'emin v'Hashem. Like, even though he couldn't see how Hashem was doing what he said he would do, he was able to go forward. So then you move into Parshas Vayera. And Hashem said to Moshe, v'yomer elav, ani Hashem. With Yud Hey and Vav and Hey, Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov bekel Shokai. I showed myself, what was revealed to Avraham, to Yitzchak and Yaakov, under the title, using the name, with the behavior, the interaction of Kel Shokai. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. Remember, Yediya is knowledge through experience. They didn't experience me with this shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Rashi explains it. What does Rashi say? Vayomer elav ani Hashem. Ne'eman l'shalem sachar tov l'mishalchem lefanai. Right? And I didn't send you for nothing. You're going to keep my word that I promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I told them I'm going to take your children and they're going to be slaves for 400 years and then we'll take them out and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. You're keeping my word. They never saw it. Hashem promised it to Avraham. He didn't see it. Hashem promised to Yitzchak, promised to Yaakov. He gives, later on, Rashi brings the examples. He says, I told Yitzchak, you know, Yitzchak's supposed to inherit the land. And every time he digs a well, the Plishtim, like, give him a hard time. Really? That's your land? That's not how it feels when you own something. You don't expect that every time you park your car, somebody tows it out of your own driveway. Right? Like, that's bizarre. That would make you feel like you probably don't have a good lease or something. Like, somebody else is laying a claim on it. He says the avos, it's chaval al de avdim velo mishtachem. Hashem says it's like I miss the good old days when we had Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov around. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu was he didn't right. This is the expression that the Medrash uses, like that feeling, like there's a bygone time when things were different. The avos were totally fine with that. This is the introduction to Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm keeping my bris with them, my promise to give them the land of Canaan, the land that they lived in, that they were Megurehem, Asher Garuba. They were strangers in it, but I promised they would own it. Only now it's happening, but they were okay with that. That didn't make them feel, because that's the kind of emunah. V'gamani shomati esnakas b'nei Yisrael, Asher Mitzrayim ma'avidim osam ve'ezkor es brisi. L'chein emor l'v'nei Yisrael, ani Hashem ve'hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. I will take you out. Vehitzalti eschem. This is the Arba Lashonos of Geula. Hitzalti eschem me'avodasam. Vegoalti eschem mizro'o netuyo v'shufatim gedolim. Velokachti eschem li lo'am v'hayisi lochem li lo'kim v'yodatem. And you'll know ki ani Hashem elokechem. That I am Hashem, and this Hashem is elokechem, your Lord. Hamotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. That's who's taking you out of Mitzrayim. The one who is Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, meaning he keeps his promises. He does exactly what he says. Ne'aman l'shalim, sachar tov, ne'aman li'para. That's what you're going to see. By the way, throughout this whole section, you see over and over again, Hashem says, in order that Paro should know that I am Hashem, in order that the Yidden should know that I am Hashem, in order that Mitzrayim should know that I am Hashem. That is definitely a way you can learn up Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what it's for the world to know Hashem is Hashem. Okay. So, here's a Ramban. This is one of the famous Rambans. There's a couple.
Right.
You probably learned it. The end of both. This, if you did one, it might have been this one. Okay? So that's good, because it'll make it faster. Okay, so I bracketed the word Vata. Okay, but it's not the puzzle. Okay. So this is the end of Parshas Bo. Vata, Omar l'chol klal b'tam mitzvos rabos. Yeah, familiar? I'm going to tell you a fundamental principle behind many mitzvos. Hine me'eis heyos avodas gelilim ba'olam. I want to focus more on the first half of this. Most of the time, if you learn it, they focus on the second half. Okay. Since the time that avoda zara began in the world, mimei enosh, hechelu hadeos lehishtabesh ba'emuna. Since the days of enosh already, so you're talking soon after Adam Harishon, Adam sheis enosh, right? People began, their thoughts, their ideas about Hashkafa and Emunah began to become messed up or corrupted. Mehem, some of them, Kofrim Be'ikar, denied Hashem altogether. Ve'omrim ki ha'olam kadmon. They say there was no creator to the universe. It was always that way.
Oh, but Adam was probably still there.
I imagine, I don't know. I don't know. That's a separate question. How people could. Yitzhar is a funny thing. Okay.
Enosh, why couldn't it be at the end of Enosh's life?
Yeah, it could be. Kachashu, probably. Enosh, I'm not sure he himself has such a problem. Kachashu Bashem, but Yom Rulohu, they would say it's not him. Umehem achachishim b'idiyaso hapratis. Some of them, they say, yeah, there must be someone who created the universe. That's absurd that there wouldn't be. Or we know that there was someone who created the universe, but he's not. He doesn't know everything that happens. Ramu echa yedo keel v'yesh dea ba'elyon. Like, how could he know so many things? The answer is, well, you couldn't, but that doesn't stop it. Okay, but that's one type of avodah zarah, of flawed philosophy. I think nowadays we'd call this philosophy, right? Umehem, they would argue these things. Umehem sheyodu v'yidia. There were others who admitted that there could be a creator who knows what goes on. Umachachishim b'hashkacha, but they say he doesn't care. And yeah, if you were paying attention. By the way, Greek gods, like, right, that's the whole, they like created the universe or burped it up or whatever they did with it, right? And then they're not really paying that much attention. They're busy drinking and cruising and doing whatever they're doing up there, yeah? Or down, I don't know, wherever they are. In their party hall, right? Like, they're not paying any attention to what's going on. Just stay out of, you wouldn't want them to notice you because they're like wackos, okay? Umachachishim bashkacha. V'yasu adam kidgei hayam. So in their minds, according to that philosophy, they see people like guppies, right? Like, you ever see guppies? Anyone ever see someone who keeps guppies? There's these little tiny fish, and you have a couple of them, and then the next time you turn around, you have like 5,000 of them.
That's so cool.
Yeah, because they're fish, so they lay like a lot of eggs really fast. And it's like you keep moving them into bigger and bigger tanks and trying to keep them apart because the big guppies eat the little guppies. I'm like, you know. But like if someone has a bunch of guppies, nobody gets attached to one particular. That's my favorite guppy. They're all the same. Sardines or something. Like they're all the same. They all look the same. They all have the same. So saying like that's what they're saying. Denial of hashkacha is like saying that people are just like fish in the sea. There are bazillions of them and you couldn't expect anybody to pay attention. There's certainly no punishment or reward because nobody's paying attention to what they... Well, you're just a little speck in the universe, right? So what you do, you know. Yomu azov Hashem is haaretz. These people, with their philosophy is that Hashem abandoned the earth. V'kasher yirtzeh ha'elokim ba'eda o b'yachid. But when Hashem wants a community or an individual, he wants to relate to them. V'yaseh imahem mofes. And he's going to make for them a miracle, a sign, b'shinui minhago shel olam v'tivo, by changing the behavior of the world and its nature. Yizbar lakol, what that causes to happen is it clarifies to everyone, bitul hadeos ha'elekulam, all of those prior messed up philosophies. Ki hamofes hanifla, because this wonder that is done, morishiyesh la'olam elokam echacho. If there's a whole new thing that happens that never was in the universe before, then that shows that there's someone who actually is creating new things in the universe. So that denies your denial, right, that there isn't. The Yodea, not only that, it proves that he knows what's going on down here, because he's involved. Umashgiach, and he's paying attention, because he's involved. The Yachol, and he is able. The Kasher Yiyah HaMofisahu Nigzar Tchila Mipinavi, and if Hashem adds the extra cherry on top by having it announced in advance by a Navi that an ace is going to happen, Yisparu Mimenu Od Amisas HaNevua. Then you get a further thing, which is the proof that it is true that there is prophecy. What does that mean? Ki Yedaber HaElokim Es HaAdam. God speaks to people. He doesn't just notice us or pay attention to us. He communicates with us. V'yigalas sodo el avodav, he reveals his secrets to servants. Pasuk hanavim, who are the prophets, v'tiskaimim zeh haTorah kula. And through this, there is a support and a structure for the entire Torah, for feeling safe and comfortable in the entire Torah, because you know that. Okay, so that's why Hashem says in this whole Yetzias Mitzrayim, l'man teda ki ani Hashem b'kerav haaretz lahoros al hashgacha. He didn't just abandon the world to whatever will happen to it. The Amar, Leman Teda Ki Lashem Haaretz. These are all the psukim in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Bavor Teda Ki En Kamoni Bechol Haaretz. Okay, all of these are showing and addressing the flawed philosophies that had come up over the years. All of this, the Mitzrayim themselves denied or cast doubt upon. And with all of these miracles, you had a trustworthy proof that Hashem created the world and is supervising it, pays attention, and cares. But he doesn't do this all the time. Not in every door, in a kol rasha o kofer. Every rasha, you know, says, well, if you show me, I'll believe, you know. Then he's going to command Hashem to make for him some kind of thing. So instead, Hashem commanded us that we should constantly have a zikaron and an os, right? That's the various mitzvos, including Shabbos, including tefillin, including mezuzah, including kiddush, right? Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Natika tavaro b'neinu. Let's copy this over to our children. Uvneihem livneihem. Their children to their children. Uvneihem lidor acharon. This is part of also the avoda of Haggadah, right? He got it to Levincha of Pesach. Vehechmer me'od b'inyan hazeh. Whenever it comes to something that is a testimony to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Torah is very strict. You have iser kares. On eating kosher food, if it's chametz, on Pesach, right? Because you can't, this is serious business. This is not a small thing. Okay. We have to write it on our doorpost. We have to mention it in the morning. We have to mention it in the evening. Now I'm at this next paragraph. V'chein, kol kayotzi behen mitzvos rabo zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Lots of mitzvos. V'akol lios lanu b'chol hadoros edos b'mofsim shelo yishtakchu. So they won't be forgotten. And there's no opening for someone to deny faith and trust and confidence in Hashem. someone who buys an inexpensive mezuzah, I think they were cheaper then, v'kav'a b'pischo, and hammers it onto his doorway, v'niskavim b'inyana, and he has in mind to do the mitzvah properly, because the Torah says to do this mitzvah, k'var hode v'chidosh ha'olam. In that action, he is declaring that the world has a creator, uv'yedias ha'borei, and that creator knows what's going on here, v'hashkachoso, and cares about it, and pays attention to it. The gam b'nevuah, and also he's testifying that there is prophecy, v'hamin b'chol pinas ha'Torah. He is now making like an amen on every corner of the Torah. In that one little action, milvad shehod ha'shechesed ha'borei, gadol me'od alo se'ritzono shehotzi'ano me'oso avdos l'cher. In addition to the specific, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the power of that. Okay, so next time, I guess we'll conclude. I want to conclude with the last paragraph of this essay, because that, like, sums up. It's chaval not to do it now, but what can we do? It's late. And then we'll do a different topic for Pesach next week. Okay?
I love this one.